In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another program from the show Open Talk. I'm Mahdi Rastani, along with Abbas Munfard, will be your host today. Inshallah, we're going to conduct the program together. First and foremost, I would like to offer my condolences on the martyrdom of Imam Ali al-Naqi, Imam al-Hadi, our 10th Imam, and also a warm welcome to your viewers who were kind enough to, inshallah, spend this time with us and watch us. Before we start out with today's program, I'm going to pass to Brother Abbas. He's going to let you know about today's topic and also later on in the program the ways you can get in touch with us to let us know about your suggestions and opinions.
Thank you very much. In name of Allah, the Lord of all creations, dear viewers from inside Iran and overseas, welcome back again to another episode of Open Talk. I'm Abbas Munfarid. It's a great honor to host you in this program. We are really delighted to provide you with nice TV shows. And of course, your comments and opinions can contribute to have better programs in the future. Of course, as you remember, in the last weeks, we've talked about deleterious effects of the internet and about the content of the internet in the virtual world of cyberspace related to Islamic community. But one of the most important issues is the growth and development of Islamic personality, which is really the concern of parents about their children on the internet. Of course, we should try to put our children on the path of Islamic cultures. But how can we provide an Islamic culture, and how can we help our children to play the role of a torchbearer by their excellence in knowledge, positive characters, and other factors? Because of the importance of this topic, I mean educating our children in the virtual world of cyberspace, we'll be back with you after a short break with our distinguished guest to talk about it more. Stay with us.
In the age of information technology, where thousands of websites with diverse contents emerge day in, day out, it has become a challenging job for Muslim parents to keep track of what their children are up to while they're surfing the net. Given the rate at which new gadgets enter the market, it is no surprise to see young children get online using a device with a 4-inch screen without their parents' supervision at the convenience of their houses. It is a dilemma whether to allow our kids to explore the net freely or set a few guidelines to keep a close eye on the activities they do on the cyberspace. How can we train our young children to go on the internet so it could also be in line with our Islamic teachings? What websites are they allowed to visit and what they're not? Should we lay down some ground rules explicitly and let them know of the areas which are off limits? Or should we ask them in an indirect manner to proceed with caution every time they run into a new website with an unknown content? Our Islamic teachings have made it crystal clear what areas of cyberspace are considered as potential threats for our loved ones, and it strongly advises us against the harms they do to them. The question is, what is the proper way to control our children with regard to Islamic parental guides?
Welcome back, dear viewers. You're watching Open Talk. As my brother mentioned, we're inshallah going to discuss the issue of the role that parents play when it comes to the internet and their children, and how they can educate their children pertaining to this topic. So inshallah, today with us, we're going to have two guests. The first, which is with us, that is with us in the studio, Dr. Qambari, the principal of Al-Mustafa Open University. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the program.
Wa rahmatullah. Thank you so much. At the beginning of this program, I'd like to express my condolences as well on the occasion of the martyrdom of the 10th Imam of Shiite Muslims, and I hope to be his real followers.
Inshallah. Thank you very much for being with us, inshallah. Before we start out, inshallah, we're going to go to Brother Abbas, and he's going to let you now know how you can get in touch with us in case there are any comments, opinions, or suggestions you would like us to know.
Thank you, Mahdi. Let me start by a verse from Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet says, "Whoever is not kind to young people is not one of us, and the best teaching that a parent can give a child is the teaching of good manners and characters." Dear viewers, there are different ways that you can contact us. You can go on the internet. The easiest way is you can go on Facebook and Twitter. You can post your comments and raise your questions, and our experts are here to provide you with answers. If you like to watch our videos, you can go on YouTube, watch our videos, and give your comments and opinions. Of course, the purpose of this program is to open up your minds to new ideas and concepts for better ways of living. You can also get in touch with us via phone. Our phone lines are subtitled during the program. You can call us and join us in this program. Now let's go to Mahdi and our distinguished guest to start today's topic. Mahdi.
Thank you very much. So to start out with today's discussion, the first question that we need to understand the answer to know Islam's general approach pertaining to this topic, is do we shield our children from the internet and what it contains of, or do we educate them? Because it's always been a conflict of two approaches, of which one we go with. What is, generally speaking, Islam's opinion in this regard?
Yeah, thank you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, bihi nasta'in, innahu khayru nasir wa mu'in. To deal with the new technology, such as the internet or cyberspace, I think, first of all, what our intelligence says is to first teach ourselves before teaching the others. To start with training ourselves and increasing our knowledge about these technologies. You know, most of the parents, especially Muslim parents, are not so educated, some of them at least, and they don't know how to use this internet or new technology, and then they are ignorant of this technology. So after this ignorance, their children are going freely to use this technology and maybe harmed and going to be damaged by the dangerous aspects and the elements of this technology. So first we have to increase our knowledge and to learn how to use this technology. And the second one is to be practitioner of what we're knowing about this technology. For example, if we know that using internet for so many hours, for example, a day, or to spend time, the majority of our time in this technology or in this space within the family, and to say, oh, my children, my son, my daughter, don't use that because this is dangerous. You have to talk with your mother, your father, your other members of the family. But you yourself, as a parent of the family, as a father or mother, you're using internet in a bad way, using this vehicle, this gadget in the wrong way. So how could we expect from you that your children would be practitioner of your command, your advice.
But before we move on to the next question, so do we educate or do we shield them from it?
So we have to educate, of course. You know, we cannot ban our children from using internet, because this is not only us that we're going to control our children. There are another elements, another institutions, such as school, society, media, friends, or the other, communities, assemblies in the society that our children are going to connect to them, and they can learn from them something.
So they're going to deal with it anyways.
Yeah, we have to start this, door for them or before them to use internet in a way that we want, not the way that they want themselves.
Yes, thank you very much. I believe our second guest is on the line with us. Excuse me, if Dr. DiMartino is with us, he's a lecturer on Islamic studies and also the chief editor of Islam Today magazine. I would like to welcome him to the program. Assalamu alaikum. And if you could elaborate on this specific question of whether we should bring up topics of the internet. For example, topics that would harm or certain things that would harm children or our youth. Do we bring it up with them? And do we warn them about it before they even get, start dealing with it? Or do we wait and try to shield it from them until they actually deal with the problem and then we bring it up? Sometimes parents say that if I were to bring up this issue before my child even dealing with the issue, that would only cause, more problems. So which approach do we take?
Assalamu alaikum. Well, the approach can be varied. Obviously, it depends on the context and where you're living. If you're talking about a community, the Muslim living in the West, then the problem they face is slightly different than those of families with children that are raised within an Islamic environment, society. And so that for, you know, in a controlled environment, like could be, again, in Islamic society, you have a school and possibly the parents who are working along the same lines. But in where Muslims live in the West, the situation is much complex. You might, your children go outside naturally and they are exposed to all sorts of things that you are outside of parental control. So therefore, the most important thing is to ensure that you prepare them. And to prepare them cannot happen overnight. All of us, if you have neglected to have a dialogue with your children for a number of years, and all of a sudden you realize that, oh, something has happened, my children are exposed to things like, for example, sexual education, sexuality in general, it's one of the major problems. And then all of a sudden you want to readdress this problem, then you are starting on a wrong foot. Yes. This is a gradual process that you have to control right from the beginning. Limited information or information related to age, you don't speak to a boy of 15 as you speak to a boy of 5 or a girl, yes, in that respect. And so you have to, a parent has to be conscious of his responsibility right from the beginning. And so allow the child to be exposed to, for example, a child can ask you very easily, Dad, where do I come from? How is a child born? And so forth. And so you have to address this. Don't dismiss his inquiry. Yes. Children are sort of by nature, they like to receive questions, they like to answer. And so therefore, by not addressing this from the beginning in a proper manner, and there are, I mean, even education, basic things as procreation, yes, can be addressed in a childlike manner. There are sites, at least in the West as well, we have websites which are conscious of about your ethical understanding of things, how you explain to children certain issues. So, no, shielding completely child, especially in the West, is not going to work. Prepare them gradually and so that they can face the world outside and put everything into perspective. Of course, you know, ethic and knowledge has to go hand in hand.
Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. DiMartino. Before we carry on with this discussion, it's a very important topic. We're going to go to Brother Abbas. I believe he has a website report ready for us.
Thank you very much. Dear viewers, here I was browsing websites, and one of the websites that is PCMag.com. I see the internet's dangers. Modern kids have access to resources vastly beyond their parents' head and beyond what some grandparents even understand. Here I see some of the dangers of the internet, like nasty websites, dangerous contacts, too much information, internet overdose. There are reportedly over a trillion web pages out there, and we see when children go on the internet, they are in contact with them. And the other one is cyberbullying, using bad words in the virtual world of cyberspace. And in another website, that is IslamicWeb.net, we see the importance of protecting children. Let me read one part of it. Psychological and educational studies prove that this is the most critical stage, I mean childhood, in a person's development. And here we have a nice saying from Al-Ghazali, childhood is like a blank sheet in which we may write down good or evil. So if we habituate our children to be good, he will be a good, and vice versa. Again, during the program, I will tell you more about other websites. Mahdi.
Thank you very much. To move on with our discussion, if we're going to talk to our children or our youth about any topic, but this topic in particular, do we take a logical approach or do we take the religious approach? And to just open that up a little bit, by the logical approach, I mean the negative effects, right? For example, you know, to educate them, like, you know, this explicit content, it's going to have these effects in your life, regardless of whether you're a Muslim, yeah, or you're Christian or Jew, or you're an atheist, these are the effects it's going to have. Do we take that approach, or do we take the approach of the religious, you know, viewpoint on that topic, that listen, this is haram, it's not allowed, and it will entail such and such punishment, or do we take both?
you know, to make our children to behave in a way that would be acceptable by the society,
yes.
by the other people who live in the same society that you live, your children live. I think there is a process.
Mm-hmm.
We have to respect the criteria of that process, and that according to psychology, that will be called as socialization,
yeah.
or the process of socialization. So we want to socialize our children to be practitioner of what is acceptable according to the values of one society.
Yes.
Man is created by nature as a civic being, okay,
mm-hmm.
a social being. But how to make this civic being to behave as a social being,
yes.
to be acceptable by the other people. You know, sometimes we are going the way that society not goes
yes.
to that way, and
yes.
our children are the same. So we have to be with the society, among
mm.
the community, with the other people. Then loneliness is the something that is the most dangerous things that we can reach, loneliness.
Yes.
So we have to be with the people, to communicate to the other people. And Islam invites us to be within the communication, within the congregation. So to behave in that way, I think first we have to begin with the family, and then through the media we can talk to the people and the school and the other sects and
mm-hmm.
other parts of the society. Within the family, I think the language of logic or the language of the religion or the what you said after the logic. So I think before engaging in that ways or that channel,
mm-hmm.
we have to begin with the psychological ways and the channels
okay.
to the children before going, this is haram or this is halal, or to use the religious language or
yeah.
the logical language. So you have to prove that you are the friend of your children first.
Yes.
You have to get rid of the wall that exists between mm. you and your children.
Yes.
They have to make this situation that you created through the rapport situation
mm.
that you're creating.
Yes.
I'm your friend, my son, my girl,
mm-hmm.
my boy. This is not the way that I'm commanding you to do this or not to do that.
Yes.
This is something not effective, I think.
Yeah.
First, we have to be friend with our children,
mm-hmm.
and again to accompany them when they are going to the internet, they
yes.
are chatting with some people, they are posting something or liking something in
yeah.
Facebook or tweeting something in Twitter. If you accompany them,
mm-hmm.
they feel that you are one of the friends that he has,
yes.
among the numerous friends that he has in the
yes.
internet, then I think it would be more effective than the language of logic and religion.
Mm-hmm.
And little by little, if they feel this immunity to be with you,
mm-hmm.
then you can, you know, bring him or her as
mm-hmm.
a child that
yes.
you have toward religion and logic, little
yes.
by little.
So the most fundamental step that a parent will have to take in this regard is to show that
friendship yeah.
to show that friendship is there, because obviously children and even grown-ups sometimes they're most affected by their friends
yeah.
rather than someone who's necessarily speaking to them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then after that they can take the logical approach or the religious approach.
The next step would be easier, you know,
yes.
to go to our religion or to our logic.
Yes. Thank you very much. If Dr. DiMartino can hear me, the next question I was going to ask from his presence is pertaining to the ways of supervising our children and the activities that they carry out online. Does it have to be indirect? Should it be direct? How do we go about this supervision? Depending on, obviously, it's going to differ depending on different ages. But what are the ways that we can do that? And by the way, I don't necessarily mean, for example, what filtering system we should be using, rather the manners that we're going to carry out to, for example, show our child that he's being supervised or she's being supervised.
Well, there are a number of steps that can be taken, and this transcends religious belief. You can be a Christian, a Jew, a Catholic, a Muslim. There are certain guidelines nowadays, but because it is a problem, it has been recognized that an unauthorized use of internet, especially for children between 5 to 10, it's as dangerous as an adult using it. And so the most important thing to do is that
communication first within your children. I think the previous speaker highlighted the importance of having a relation with your children. And so always have an open channel of communication. Do not shut them down, and you know, they have to understand, of course, the parent is not a friend, is a parent as well. He has certain responsibility. So becoming just a friend, it might be a little bit reductive for the role of parents.
Yes.
But communication is important. You talk to your children at all step. As I said, they are inquisitive. They want to ask questions, so you don't dismiss them. And as far as the internet is concerned, there are certain rules which applies to a five-year-old up to the age of 14, 15. Basically, the areas where the internet is used has to be an area accessible to the parents.
Yes.
Children should not be allowed to close themselves inside the room and sort of completely oblivious of what is happening. But again, these are steps which have to be taken gradually from the beginning. You cannot let your children go unsupervised, and then all of a sudden you realize that, oh, I made a mistake, I want to stop. Because this is what creates a major conflict. So a gradual supervision, 4 to 5, of course, you monitor it. Yes, of course, the filtering system. You address the children's educational need, by directing them specifically to educational websites which are specific for children.
Yes.
Also, you create ground rule from the beginning that this is the time when internet must be used. This is the time when you have to stop. But this, again, you cannot apply the same rule from a 5 to 10 to 10 to 14 and 14 to 18.
Yes,
all these are different.
Much.
A 16 to 18 year old boy or girl have become more mature. They do not expect that level of control from the parents. And if you have done your job properly right at the beginning, the chances are that by that age, they're already aware of what are the ethic sort of implication from an Islamic perspective of behaving online as well as you behave offline.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. DiMartino. So I believe what I understood from Dr. DiMartino's answer is the importance of communication, especially when it comes to a young age, and number two were the ground rules, that there need to be rules within the house and within the family for the use of the internet by our children. Before we carry on, we're going to go to Brother Abbas. He's going to have a comment ready for us, and when we come back, we'll carry on with the discussion.
Thank you very much for your nice comments and opinions. First, let me read a nice comment by one of our viewers. It is vital that we pay attention to the child and ensure that what is introduced to him in his social environment is intellectually beneficial to reflect positively on the young child, his behavior and development. Here, also one of our viewers has asked this question. Let me ask you, Dr. DiMartino. Of course, nowadays we see that young generation has a vast access to the internet. And in comparison with old generation, here we see a kind of generation gap between young generation and old generation. Do you think that parents should exert a fair degree of control over their children, or they should be too strict or too lenient about their children in the virtual world of cyberspace? Can you somehow elaborate on it?
Well, surely, balance, the middle way is always the best way. Avoiding extremes behavior towards your children are always, it is actually our way, our Islamic way. And so not to have too stringent rules, but also not to think that you are a friend of your children. You are their protectors. And so they have to understand that you have a responsibility towards them and that you are not just someone at the same level as themselves. And so, you are right, the gap of technology, the less you are able to understand as a parent, and I think the previous speaker underlined that, the less you are able to understand as a parent the implication of using the internet and how the internet is used, the less you'll be able to transmit that to the child. And in that case, then you have to ask for help or institutions, I don't know, your mosque or your school, your educational institution, who can sort of direct them. If you are unable to express the danger to your children and the control, then you have to seek outside help. Just don't let it go, because you won't, you know, the child can be taken away from you.
Don't you think that parents should become more up to date nowadays in order to fill this gap?
Absolutely. And as I said, if you are too old, if you just don't have the strength to do that, then get help for someone who can talk to the children in the language they understand, the language of technology. Yes.
Thank you very much. Dear viewers, stay with us. We'll be back with you after a short break.
Thank you very much for being with us, dear viewers. You're watching Open Talk. To carry on with our discussion, I think the next question that I asked this question from the presence of Dr. DeMartino, but I would also love to have your opinion on it, the ways of supervising our children. And once again, just to clarify that for our viewers, by that obviously we don't mean what filtering system we're using, or you know, what specific website our children shouldn't be going to, or anything like that. We're talking about how we play that role as parents. Dr. DeMartino mentioned that being friends is important, but our children also need to understand that we are on a higher level or a different level than them. But what are the ways that we use to supervise our children?
Yeah, I think before entering supervision, we have to educate our children to be qualified enough, to be educated enough about how to use internet, how to get us stay away from the dangerous aspects of this internet, and how to communicate with the people who are not harmful, who are not enemies of the identity, the personality, or the immunity of that person. So if we do our job in the best way at the beginning before entering internet, so I think we are not always with our children to supervise them in the school, in the universities, in the other parties of the society, or the corner of the society. Then if you work and try your best in educating, in teaching your children how to learn to use internet, how to educate to be in the internet, then you can become sure that alhamdulillah, you gave him or her good confidence, immunity, and security that never go astray within the internet.
Yes.
But after that, after educating, at the beginning, the first steps that he or she is going to use internet, at the beginning, it needs supervision.
Yes.
But I think this supervision should be directly, it should be indirectly.
Okay.
So your children wouldn't understand that you are monitoring him or her.
Okay.
You are controlling him or her. But it should be in a way that's not, you know, sensible.
Okay.
It would be, you know, from far, not from near.
Yes.
It wouldn't be visible.
Yes.
So this is something I want to highlight it, because our children, if they feel that you are supervising, then they know how to cheat you.
Yeah.
They know how to use the ways that you couldn't understand it.
Yes.
Filtering is good, filtering system, but today people are using the ways to go or penetrate this wall that we put there as a filter.
Yes.
So they use different softwares to go.
So the ways are there.
In.
Yes. Know. Yes.
This is not, I think, but effective.
Yes, but what you mentioned about the supervision and it being indirect, what age in particular are we talking about? Because if I'm not mistaken, maybe it would be better to make it in fact direct, and for our children to feel that they're being supervised, probably at a younger age, and then once they reach that that age of rebellion, as they say, maybe then we should make it indirect. I don't know if you could please elaborate on
that. You know, for the children under 10, before reaching teenage.
Yes.
So I think we wouldn't, you know, emphasize or insist on to make them be familiar with the internet.
Yes.
You know, some of the families, Muslim families, unfortunately, because they want to show that how modern they are, or for example, their children are educated, alhamdulillah, they know how to use internet for the children in the age of 5, 6.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is harmful.
Yeah.
Till the age of 7, let them play for themselves, let them become free from the internet, from these modern technology, because they are harmful, really. But after the age of 10, for the teenagers, I think we have to make indirectly supervision.
Yes. And what about the ground rules that Dr. DeMartino mentioned? What is your opinion in that regard? Do we need to have those rules, and how strict are we supposed to be on those rules?
Yeah, of course there are some rules. For example, there are some softwares, you know, helping our parents to control, to monitor, to record the websites that our children use.
Yes.
You know, but I think they are not so effective.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm saying that.
Yeah.
I think we have to give our children good education, good instruction to use internet in a way that we want.
Yes.
To give them self-confidence.
Yes.
To teach them they are big enough, they are mature, they can understand what is harmful, what is helpful for them. So if you make them to become clear for the children, then you can become sure forever they never go astray.
Yes, thank you very much. I guess the next question I was going to ask was, when we speak of how do we create this urge in our children?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can call it their aspiration or this goal in their mind, that this tool that's at your hands, and maybe this is one of the ways of keeping them from harming themselves with the internet, is to teach them that this tool that is at your hand, it's not only us telling you not to harm yourself, but you can also use it for the good.
Yeah.
So in other words, can we go on the offense as a way of defending ourselves? Can we give our children that Islamic that urge to use the internet for Islamic means rather than just entertaining themselves?
Yes.
Would that be a beneficial way of then defending themselves?
Yeah, of course that would be beneficial.
Yes.
I think, you know, instead of saying this is harmful, don't use that, don't go there or be there, instead of that, I think the positive aspect of the internet is much more useful to be highlighted by the parents, and especially the way that I'm thinking that is much more beneficial than the others is that parents, father and mother, will be in a, you know, station, in a position of a role model for the children.
Yeah.
The way that I, as a father, use to use internet or to apply internet, this gadget, is the way that I'm instructing my children to be in this way.
Yeah.
So they are always monitoring us from the very beginning of their life.
Yeah.
So they see that the parent, the father, mother, that they're using internet for the wrong way.
Yes.
Okay, wrong purposes. And they can understand that this is the way I can go there.
Yeah.
I can experience that. But if they see that, okay, my father is, you know, going to the academic websites or Islamic websites, he is, you know, asking the question that he need from the religious authorities. He's going always to the websites that are Islamically authentic and reliable. Then the children understand that this is the way, then can I use that?
Yes.
So, but unfortunately, the parents at the beginning of the life of their children, they say they don't understand. They you know, child.
They're not aware yet.
Yeah. So they use some films
Yes.
in the eyes of, before the eyes of the children, This is harming them.
Yes.
We think that they don't understand, but they understand very well.
Yes.
So this is the way I think from the beginning we have to behave in a best way and mm-hmm. to use internet in a good purposes. Then I can in that way teach my children
yes.
to be in this way.
Yes, thank you very much. We're going to go to Brother Abbas. If I'm not mistaken, he has a website ready for us. And then when we come back, we're going to ask a question from the presence of Dr. DeMartino.
Thank you very much, Mahdi. Here I see some important points about the role of parents. That is on missionislam.com. We see parents play a vital role in the education of their children. Early childhood education program emphasizes the role of parents. It declares that learning begins in the first days of life and continues for life. Parents should develop a habit to read with their children every night. Parents should provide an Islamic environment and Islamic culture. It is hypocritical to do things differently and expect the child to have Islamic values. Parents see the best examples for their children to imbibe. Like parents, the role of family has also been considered important in learning and upbringing their children. I think we have one of our viewers through Skype. Salamun alaikum. Would you please introduce yourself, our dear viewer?
Salamun alaikum. Thank you for your nice program. I am Ahmad from Iraq.
Do you think children should be controlled by their parents? How do you think they should behave towards children in the virtual world of cyberspace?
Okay. In my view, before control the children, parents must have knowledge about computer, internet, and other technologies, and can work with them to understand and know the advantages and disadvantages of these technologies, especially internet. For example, parents can search in the internet about parental control or internet filter and find a suitable software for computers to control their children.
Yeah.
So these softwares block pornography, protect children on social networks, and for example, parents can control all the pages that children open and or search about that. And they can block whatever website that they that want and although to use some special website that they recognize. And I think it's better that the children know that parents can control and see everything they saw. At the end, I want to say that one of the important factors for each age of your children is to be friends with your children.
Yes.
Then children trust you and say everything in their heart and show all the experience from the internet to you. And in this way, you can guide and help your children to using internet in the best way, and the children accept your guidance.
Yes.
Thank you for your great program. I'm glad to join with you. I'm glad to join with program, and I hope to join again later. Goodbye.
Thank you very much. It's also a great honor for us to have you in this program, Brother Mahdi.
Thank you very much. I would also like to thank our dear viewer. So I believe the next question I was going to ask was about this this foundation that we're talking about, this education that we're talking about. When we speak of education, is it simply a matter of telling our children that, you know, this is what might happen, even if as their friend, this is what might happen, and these are the effects that might come about by you doing this and that? Or do we give them an Islamic foundation where they understand where they stand in this world, where they understand the plots behind these websites to destroy the lives of our Muslim youth, to stop them from progressing in their life? Do we give them that foundation? And do you think that that foundation would be a lot more effective? Obviously, that's going to come at an older age, probably, you know, it's obviously after 10. But what is the importance of that from your perspective? Or do we focus on if you watch this website, then it's going to cause issues later on when you grow up and you want to, you know, for example, get married, for example. Which approach would you prefer?
Sorry, it's for...
Yes, this is a question for you, Dr. DeMartino.
Yes, okay. Well, centrally, the approach that, the gradual approach is always the best. Once you've raised your children in a way that they, you know, ethically, the culturally, they understand the difference in terms of, especially I'm talking about the Muslim living in the West, obviously, they understand that their ethical system is based on different grounds, and so that, for example, if we talked about sex earlier, we understood that sex is understood in Islamic within the context of marriage, and that anything outside that it's got consequences which are detrimental for society, blah, and all the rest. And so once you bring them up from the beginning gradually to that level, then the next step is that you have a practicing young boy or girl who wants to be sort of active within his own or her own community, and the best thing is to introduce them to the youth activity within yes. the area related to the Islam. And we have a variety of experiences where young boys and young girls which have become very proficient in technology, internet, web building, sort of video producing. They are now actively seeing the fruit of their Islamic knowledge put to the public, given yes. to the public by producing documentaries, producing clips, and this is a practical involvement. Which directs the energy of the young person into something that, you know, halal in the first word, but also is an experience of building material. And so the difference between the non-religious friends that he has is that, yes, he's also experiencing the same development in the ability to produce something visually attractive, but it has an Islamic sort of finality to it. But as I said earlier, this cannot happen overnight. You have taken your child through a process, and by the time they are 14, 15, 16, yes. they themselves already feel that they want to contribute. So, you know, do not think that can happen like it overnight. You abandon your children to themselves, and then all of a sudden you bring them, you think you want to reform them. It has to be a gradual process. Any parent who brings a child into this world has to be aware of his responsibility from the beginning. And this is the bottom line.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. DeMartino. Before I go on to the next question, I would like to ask our friends, my dear colleagues, to let me know how much more time we have. Last question, inshallah. I believe we're almost out of time. The last question is in regards to the practice of the parents themselves. Would you think that actually taking the time to sit with our children yeah. and to, this probably goes along the lines that you mentioned, to actually become friends with them, do you think that taking part in their online activities along with them, do you think that's a way of doing that? Is that a means of showing that friendship? For example, if we come if we're going to post something, why not post it together? Okay, you contribute, I'll contribute, and then we're going to post whatever we're going to post.
Yeah, I think we have to keep in mind that cyberspace and spending time in cyberspace is somehow is living or like a living in a real life.
Yes.
So we have to educate our children to live independently from yes. the family mm-hmm. because the family are not a supervisor of the children mm-hmm. forever. So sometimes they will become independent from the family mm-hmm. and will connect to the other people. So he or she should learn how to live such a life, mm-hmm. you know, independently and lonely. Yes. So in the cyberspace also, one of the important elements we have to educate our children in this way is to teach them how to deal with the things that they don't know the answer.
Yeah.
They don't know the solution. For example, they encounter some problems, they seeking the solution, but they don't find out the solution.
Yeah.
So we have to teach them, if you don't know the things, you mm-hmm. have to ask the people who know.
Yes.
And they are reliable, of course. And the first step, and the first people you have to refer to is the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Your father and your mother are the best people you mm-hmm. can refer to them.
Yes.
If you, for example, our children may face some invitation, they receive some invitation from a group, from yes. a person, and he or she doesn't know whether they accept this invitation or not.
Yes.
They don't know exactly, they hesitate in that situation. We have to teach them, in that situation, you have to come to us and ask us, and we can guide you, we mm-hmm. can, you know, lead you to the best answer, best
yes.
solution.
Yes.
If you, or with respect to the religious issues, for example, there is something happening in the field of Islam or religion, some misunderstandings, you know, happening in some chat room or some conversation that mm-hmm. we're holding. We have to teach them, whatever you don't know, you're not sure about the answer to accept mm-hmm. or to reject, you have to ask the people who are expert in Islam.
That's a point I wanted to get to. When we, because children, especially around the age of, for example, for between like 10 and 15, that's when the questions start to pop up in their mind mm-hmm. and occupy their mind. Is the approach that we take, very briefly please, if you could elaborate on this, the approach that we take is that if they have a question, do we just simply give them the answer, or do we make them work for the answer? Which approach do we take in this regard?
I think we have to make them to reach the answer, to help them
yes.
reach the good answer, not directly mm-hmm. to say, okay, this is the answer, if you don't know, I can mm-hmm. help you this and that. No, we have to make them to understand how to think,
yes.
how to reach the best answer, how to use the sources mm-hmm. that are reliable Islamically.
Yes. Yes.
So if we teach them in this way, I think it would be better for them, and they can use forever this good knowledge.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us, Dr. Ghambari. I would also like to thank Dr. DiMartino, who joined us from abroad. Also my brother Abbas Monferet, who helped us in today's program. Thank you very much for watching us. It was very kind of you to be with us and share your time with us, dear viewers. Until another program, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.